And we're back with another episode of the Lakers Fast Break Podcast. It's a snack pack, everyone. Go to your kitchen, open the fridge or your pantry. Boom, grab a snack. It's the Lakers Snack Pack. It's Gerald Glassford coming up back at you here from Lakers Fast Break. Pop Culture Cosmos, where we cover the latest news and trends in pop culture each and every week, twice a week on the latest episode. I review Dune Part 2, so go ahead and check out my thoughts on Dune Part 2 at the Pop Culture Cosmos. Inside Sports Fantasy Football, once NFL free agency kicks in, we'll go ahead and make sure we devote an episode to your team and how it is going to be affected by free agency. I know Joe Sorrell on Lakers Nightcap last night talked about Russell Wilson, him being let go by the Denver Broncos and what that's going to do. So go ahead and check out his thoughts there on the Nightcap at ours later this month on the Inside Sports Fantasy Football. Plus, Joe is Ox9247. You notice he has his regular name there today. No side names today. Go ahead and check him out as Ox1947 at LakersBall.com. Plus also, Simblades is his company. You need to support it. Simblades with the Y.com. Plus also, of course, go ahead and check out what we're doing today with Lakerholics.com. Lakerholics are probably coming back this weekend. Laker Tom and Jamie Sweet, give those guys a big hand because they are doing a great job at Lakerholics.com. Also as well, our good friends, Empire Jeff TV, Lakers in 5, Daniel Berry Sports Highlights, yo, and the John McCallion Channel. Plus, a big shout out to John Costa, who was on this afternoon with a special guest, Stone Hansen. I didn't even set anything of this up. They did it out. They reached out to each other on their own. They did a great job in doing so. They had a great conversation today. Please check it out on this channel. Go ahead and do so to get the latest notifications on when we go live. If you subscribe to their channels and to our channels, including John Costa's Lakers Corner Clutch Talk, if you like more of that, please go ahead and subscribe to all these channels. If you're on Facebook, to the people that are out there worldwide on Facebook, make sure you like and follow us to make sure you're staying in touch with what we're doing right here at the Lakers Fast Break. And thank you for the Facebook Live, Johnny Berlade. There you go. Right there, indeed. But is the Lakers heading into tomorrow's matchup against the Sacramento Kings at home, the friendly confines of the Crypt, which has actually been pretty decent to the Lakers this season? They're going to need even more good home cooking because the Lakers, by sheer will, them playing as well as they have as Intel Wild, hopefully he got safe back to his home, mentioned 10-4. In recent times, but also as well, the Mavericks, the Warriors, and the Kings all not playing so well. 500 ball for the Kings and the Mavericks in the last 10 games. And the Golden State Warriors, after getting drubbed by the Celtics, looking to go ahead and get back off the schneid there here tomorrow as well. But the Lakers find themselves in ninth place in the Western Conference. They're still, of the 10 teams, have the largest amount, or they have the most amount of losses, but that gap is narrowing. They're only one loss behind Golden State and Dallas, and they're three behind Sacramento and Phoenix. Phoenix did pull out an overtime victory today, and New Orleans won as well. That was kind of a bummer because both of them losing would have helped the Lakers cause even more, but they are within reach of the Kings, the Mavericks, and those Kings games coming up. This one tomorrow and the one next week are big games indeed. And here today to discuss whether or not the Lakers can find themselves in a much better position, either a higher play-in ranking or, dare I say it, the playoffs as far as a fifth or sixth seed. Good man indeed. You got to go ahead and check out what he's doing today as far as the Lakers nightcap on Laker game days. It is Joe Sorrow. And Joe, great to have you here, my friend. Looking forward to hearing your thoughts on this. Again, it's still, the odds are not in the Lakers' favor, especially with the tough schedule, but it is providing right now, after the big win against the Thunder, a glimmer of hope that the Lakers can move up in those Western Conference standings.
They've played very well the last two games. They just had a lapse at the end there against Denver. which seems to be a habit that they have. But they also had a miraculous comeback in the Clipper game. So the last, the three of the last four game, or the last four games, they have been, I should say Washington was not a good win, but let's say three out of four against good teams. They were there. They were invested in the game. We would like them to be invested, especially here in the next three games at home. I would say if they can beat Sacramento here on Wednesday, there's definitely going to be a confidence boost, I would assume, for games, for the Milwaukee game and Minnesota. Then they go on the road to Sacramento, and I think they're probably going to split with Sacramento, whether they win at home against them or on the road against them. I think that's going to probably be a split one way or the other. Would like to see them beat Milwaukee and Minnesota, and then at that point it still stays within the 7-3 number that I was hoping for this particular homestand, because then they're going to get Golden State on Saturday, which I think at home I feel pretty confident that they can beat. I think they can beat Atlanta at home. I think they can beat Philadelphia at home without Embiid, and then Indiana's formidable, but I could see the Lakers maybe pulling these out, or at least three out of the four. So you have the homestand started, official homestand. I don't know if you want to count the LA one since they were on the road at home. You have Washington, Denver, Oklahoma City, Sacramento, Milwaukee, Minnesota, Sacramento again, Golden State, Atlanta, Philadelphia, Indiana. So that's 11 games in that span. One is on the road. So those 10 games at home, right now they're sitting at 2-1. You win tomorrow, you're 3-1. Then you got to win four of the next six games. So playing it by percentages, I could see them doing it, and I could also see them not doing it. But they kind of don't have a choice at this point, especially with what's coming after that. I would highly recommend that the Lakers pull out all the stops, pull out everything, every bits of energy you can for these next few games. And if you happen to have to go and get beat up on the road after that, at least you can come out of there 3-3 and say, you know what, we won 10 out of the 16 games in this gauntlet at home and on the road. And that's something I guess you'd have to take if that's presenting itself.
Once again, it is the Lakers Fast Break. It is Joe Soro along with me, Gerald Glassford. Thanks so much again for watching, listening. Truly appreciate it. I'll say this, Joe, again, if the Lakers can continue their home magic, because the one thing they have done pretty good, except for the month of January, they really could have capitalized on some better play at home. But overall, their record at home is not too shabby, Joe. So we need to take that in consideration that the team this year, last year was kind of like wishy-washy on their home record, but they were better on the road. This year, they're not quite as good on the road, but at home, they're somewhat formidable, my friend.
Yeah, they've been playing well at home, which is why it's imperative that they make their run right now here in the next few games before they go on the road for one last Grammy Part 2 trip, because there's not going to be a lot of rest there. It's going to be a brutal six-game road trip. Get your wins now. Then at least if you come out of that road trip, you know, 500, it won't debilitate you as much. The Suns beat Denver today. That kind of put a little bit of a unfortunate.
Yeah, that would have been, if they and New Orleans would have lost today, that would have been so beneficial for the Lakers.
But there's still three games from the seven. Eight is the number that we're looking at right now, because that's the next one. But the 7-1 is going to guarantee the playoff spot. And that needs to likely be the focus at the very least. If you get to 8, you still have to worry about not making the playoffs if you get bounced. If you lose, that's scary. That's a scary... If they lose as an 8 seed, they got to play the winner of the 9 and 10, right?
Yeah.
So they got to play two games whether they're at 8, 9, or 10. So 7 is the key one. If you lose that game, you still get the 8 seed in the end, but it's a lot of stuff to think about here. I just wish we weren't in this position. I feel like we talk about it every year in and year out. It's really getting tiring because it's just not putting themselves in the right positions to succeed, especially right out the gate. They got away with it last year because I think they faced a couple teams that had some inner turmoil, but Stone said it best. We don't win a championship. None of this matters. Getting to the finals is not enough. Getting to the Western Conference Finals isn't enough. It doesn't matter. They have to win a championship. And right now, it's just not going to likely be that. But we're going to see if they can turn it on. That's the only phrase I can think of right now. Can they turn it on? Whatever that is.
That's true. But I really think that the Lakers have this chance, this opportunity. There's a window, Joe. At least the window has cracked open for them to go ahead and get into the mix. You're right. Having the 29 losses, that is very detrimental to their cause. But 2 wins in the next week over the Kings primarily can really help their cause as far as narrowing that gap.
The home losses will be harder to swallow. They play like they have played here the last 2 games. They're gonna win these games. It's just a matter of can they do it. If they play like they played against Denver and Oklahoma City in the Sacramento game, Milwaukee, Minnesota game, they'd probably win all 3 games. I don't have a doubt. They've played really, really well. And if you do that, now you start putting yourself in a position where you can start controlling your own destiny a little more. You do go back on the road after that, but it's just hard to gauge at this point. You don't know if they can sustain it for 2-3 weeks at a time.
That's the thing.
You just don't know. And all evidence points that they won't. It's just now waiting to get in to this play-in and see what the next task is. Are they going to look at this as who gives a crap what it is? As long as AD and LeBron are not tired this time going into the playoffs, we have a shot. I wonder if that's what they're thinking. I know that's probably what Darvin Ham is thinking because he doesn't really think about anything else that's relevant. So that's the easiest way to think of this if you're not knowing what the hell you're doing. We're saying it because we're fans. We don't have any control over those practices or those coaching things and being able to motivate. There's nothing we can do. We have to sit here and watch and hope that some miracle happens here.
This is Raphael from NBADraftJunkies.com, and you are listening to the Lakers Fast Break.
Check out what's been going on with the Pop Culture Cosmo Show and the PCC Multiverse.
The better that these Marvel films do, the higher the standards are going to be for not just other films in general, but other Marvel films also.
I think it's really hard to end a show with this many fans in a satisfying way.
That's the Pop Culture Cosmo Show.
And the PCC Multiverse.
Playing worldwide on radio 7 days a week and wherever you get your podcasts. So I ask you, my friend, it is at least you're leaving that window of opportunity as we come right back to you here at the Lakers Fast Break. It is Joe Soro along with me, Gerald Glassford. Thanks again for watching and listening. It's truly appreciated. That there's a gap. It sounds like there's a gap that, you know, you and I were just basically this time last week after some really nasty losses. We're just saying, you know what? 10th place, here we are. That's it, done deal. At least now you're telling me, as Jim Carrey would say, we have a chance.
I don't know how to respond to that. What else are we going to talk about on the show? Are we going to just say, well, guys, the Lakers are gonna suck the next.
Well, we tell them straight out. It is, if we don't think the Lakers are gonna.
We're not even at that part anymore. We're not really at that part. We're in this middle ground area where we have to say, well, if they win tomorrow and then they win, then it's the next game. Well, if they win tomorrow, then it's okay. Wears off after a few hours. Are they going to, if they win tomorrow and then let's say they lose, now these guys are bums, they're not going to do anything. So there's this seesaw back and forth because that's what they've presented all year. It's difficult. It's difficult to assess anything when there's no consistency. Although there have been players that have been playing consistent, guys like D'Angelo Russell, AD, Austin, Rui. We can focus on that a little. LeBron, of course, playing like LeBron does. The focus needs to probably be more on that and figuring out matchups, how this matchup with Sacramento at home tomorrow is going to benefit the Lakers. We know that Sabonis is this giant moving statue. So AD tends to not play very well against heavy guys. Can he use his agility? Can he use his athleticism to do what he was doing in this last game by just being under that rim and grabbing those offensive rebounds when the team would miss shots, the few shots that they were missing? So every time they made a shot was amazing. When they missed, seemed like AD seemed to be there at the right time most of the time, and that's what's going to win him games. But can AD do that with Sabonis there? And can the Lakers handle Sacramento's potent offense? Are the Sacramento Kings going to come in and get open shots all game due to the amazing defensive philosophy of Darvin Ham? Those are the questions you probably want to ask and discuss, and that's probably what the crowd wants to hear right now, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Because that will point to the fact that we know what the hell we're watching and what we're expecting, and we know what team the Sacramento Kings are. We know, obviously, who our team is. How is Darvin Ham going to set his rotations tomorrow night with no bench? Will Taurean Prince have a dud or be a stud?
Can they get one of the Lakers bench players to have a good game?
I'm not looking at one bench player to have a good game. They need one bench player to be good every game, and they don't have that.
No, that's what I'm saying. Can we find some consistency with
probably one bench player? It's a talent issue. It's not with those guys. It's not really a scheme or a motivation issue. It's talent. I think Darvin Ham could be the best X's and O's guy, and those guys just don't have that Jamal Crawford or Jamal Crawford's probably a bad example because he was sixth man of the year, but Lou Williams towards the end of his career that was still able to score, something like that. Someone that can come off the bench, or Bruce Brown is a good example. They don't have like a Bruce Brown from last year for when he was in Denver. They don't have any of those guys. They need like two of those guys off the bench, and it would make a world of difference, especially if there's an ability. Schroeder, thanks, Alan. I appreciate it. For the Lakers, a guy like Schroeder, keeping a guy like Schroeder coming off the bench would have been a huge help this year, especially with the way D'Lo's playing. Because now you could spell D'Lo in good spots during the game and keep him fresh as long as he keeps his rhythm with his shots. Seems like he's just not struggling with his shot here, even after the All-Star break. I think he had a dud right out the gate, but quickly came back to where he was playing before. So it's going to be a matchup of speed, agility, scorers, guys that can hit shots. The drop defense is going to be...
This drop coverage thing, man.
Yeah, the drop coverage is going to be a scary thing here if the Kings make shots.
So let me ask you this. Can they find the same kind of defensive intensity that they found in their last game against the Thunder? Because it is their best defensive performance in weeks. Weeks, Joe. Weeks.
Shai Gill just didn't look like himself last night. I'm curious on if he was maybe partying a little bit the night before. I don't really
know. Back to back, they really do well, Joe. So there was
I don't know. It didn't make any sense. I felt like in a lot of cases during that game, I'm like, I didn't even think about Shai. Chet Holmgren, I know he's got talent. He's looking like he's going to be a stud in the future, but I don't have. I think the Lakers seem to just play this team very well. They match up very well against Oklahoma City. Lakers have to hope they face them in the playoffs if they don't face the Clippers in the first round.
So you think it's a better matchup?
I think the best matchup with the Lakers is Oklahoma City. And then the Clippers are a level below them. And I say that because LA, the Lakers being able to stay in LA in their own arena for the first round is a huge advantage. Huge advantage. You have home court in the first round without needing to be home court. That's a rarity. It's like Tampa Bay playing in the Super Bowl in Tampa. LA Rams playing at SoFi. It made a difference in those games, it seemed, didn't it?
Yes.
So if the Lakers are playing at home in the first round and they didn't and they're a seventh or an eighth seed, I think that's kind of it's like you stunk all year only to have home court advantage in the first round. They'll at least get that in the first round. Of course, they're going to be playing on the road the rest of the way, but that one series could make a difference, especially if they're running on all cylinders. However, from a team matchup standpoint, the Lakers match up very well against Oklahoma City, and I would have full confidence that if the Lakers play their game, they would upset Oklahoma, whether they're a two or three seed.
One thing I want to go ahead and say, Alfonso, truly great to have you here watching on Facebook. He says Darvin Ham should show more intensity and shout at his players rather than just sit quietly on the bench. Well, he doesn't really sit on the bench, Alfonso. He just has his hands in his pockets and just stands there on the sideline. But I get where you're coming from, Alfonso. He really doesn't communicate well, and he really doesn't, for a guy who's supposed to be a quote unquote player's coach, Joe, he doesn't seem to have or instill always the kind of intensity that you want. There's those players that always say, oh yeah, he's a coach we would run a wall through. I don't know if that ever was the case for Darvin Ham, but seeing what they got yesterday, whatever they laid out, they need to lay out again for the Sacramento Kings.
Is there a coach in the NBA right now where the players would run through a wall for? Coaches exist?
It's a hard question to say.
You'd have to have a coach that's been there for 10 years. Or answer, I should say. Yeah, you'd have to have a coach that's been there for 10 years. And that's more, I feel like that's more in hockey or in baseball. I don't really see it in football or in basketball, especially in this time, in this era of sports. Football coaches are so strategic. They're so calculating, analytical, all that stuff, especially the good ones, the offensive gurus, that they're just disconnected with the players to the point where they can rah-rah everybody. There's not a lot of Bill Cowers out there anymore, if there are any. The NBA's always kind of been, the message gets old. It gets old quicker in the NBA because you have star players making quadruple the amount of money of a coach, no matter who he is. You look at Phil Jackson, you look at Pat Riley. I'll give you an example of both. Pat Riley was, if anybody was a player's coach, it was Pat Riley. Pat Riley was loved by his players, especially Magic, Burr, Kareem, everybody. Everybody loved him. But even him, after 9 seasons, they started tuning him out. Phil Jackson, almost every stint he's had, whether with the Bulls, with the Lakers, ended in a not-so-good way. And whether it's management, whether it's the players, it doesn't matter. It just, coaching always seems to end in a bad way because the message gets old. People get tired of each other in this particular scenario. I don't, I'm trying to think. Does Miami want to run through a wall for Spoelstra?
I don't know. I mean,
I think just, about it, no.
I think the environment right now probably will not have these players, especially what they're paid, what they're compensated. They're, you know, it's a different era. I don't think that that genuine, I guess, ferocity exists maybe at the NBA level anymore. I don't know. I may be wrong. I could be wrong on that.
I don't know. I don't think there's a coach anymore that people love that much. It would have to be a star player or a couple star players on a competitive team that are winning. So Michael Jordan loved Phil Jackson. And he said he's not going to play for any other coach. That's a ringing endorsement.
It is.
And Tim Duncan with Greg Popovich, the advantage Greg Popovich had during his career was he had a ultra star, mega star, one of the greats, being able to take his ribbing in front of everybody. And that's usually where it starts. If he's going to be able to take it, it's very similar to the Patriots with Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. Tom Brady took criticism and everyone had to fall in line. If Tom Brady is not immune to being yelled at and being chastised, then who the hell are you? Yeah. So that all puts everyone in line. That's a rare combination there. And of course, none of those guys would ever want to run through a wall for Bill Belichick. They want to throw him through a wall, if anything. And of course, even Tom Brady got tired of his crap after 20 years. So it's just, these are supposed to be professionals. I don't want these guys to think that they have to think that way. What they need to do is understand that there is a deficiency in that area, especially with this team, and try to use the veteran leadership and the veteran knowledge that you've accumulated here in the last few years to try to work out another way to get things done the right way. You know that this guy can't replace you. You know he can't bench you. He's not going to bench LeBron. He's not going to bench AD, even if they were going against his plays or whatever. He's a stool. He's a stool. He doesn't have that command, and no one will give it to him. So just do what you think is right at this point. Just go with your instincts. That's why you're great players. You know, James Harrison, the 100-yard interception return in Super Bowl 43. He didn't follow the defensive call that game or in that play. He noticed something, dropped back, and was in the line of sight of the post, which is – that was the first bad pass at the goal line, by the way. I know Russell Wilson gets a lot of flack for what he did, and he should, but that was a stupid pass, and it cost Arizona probably the Super Bowl. They should have just ran the ball, but that was a play that James Harrison did not listen to the coach, and that was a coach he loved, by the way, and look what it did. That's why you pay those guys the big bucks. Sometimes you got to rely on your players to make the right call while they're in there. They're the ones playing. You got to give them that autonomy to do that. And Phil Jackson was good at doing that. Pat Riley was good at doing that. Spoelstra's good at doing that. Greg Popovich, I don't know so much if he was into that, but I don't know. That's the one thing that I just like Dave Roberts with the Dodgers. Every time I get excited about the team after a few wins, it's that reminder that there's that guy that's still roaming the sidelines that might screw it up one way or the other.
Once again, it is the Lakers Fast Break. It is a snack pack, Lakers snack pack. Gerald Glassford coming right back at you here along with Joe Sorrell. Please go ahead and make sure you are a part of what we're doing tomorrow. Of course, pregame, during the game. I'm hoping I'm getting the simulcast back. I don't know what went with playback on the last time. The simulcast for some reason didn't work, so I apologize for that. But if you're not sure, just join us on the main feed, playback.tv/LakersFastBreak. I will try to make sure and get the simulcast going, provided playback gets it going themselves. Also, as well, of course, the best post game that's out there after the Kings game is right here, the Lakers Fast Break. And then top your evening off with a nightcap with Joe Sorrell at Lakers Nightcap with Joe Sorrell. Coming up, since it's a 7 o'clock game, it'll be probably what, 10? Can we? I don't know. See, probably have to be 11 or 10. 30, I don't know. we'll see. We'll play it by ear. Well, it all depends on when the Lakers game finishes. So we'll go ahead and make sure we get
there's
you a
no
nice.
Way it's gonna be, there's no way it's going to be 10. 10, yeah. 10 is when the game ends.
Yeah. So most likely 11. So it'll be 11 o'clock for you. Sorry for the folks out in the East Coast. The nightcap is always late for you, but you can always go ahead if you get a chance to see it live. Check it out on replay. It's always right here on Facebook and YouTube as well. But my friend, you know, the Lakers, I still think they do have a chance. The window is open. But as Zangerstein says, the schedule for them is daunting. The schedule for the Warriors is actually the easiest of the remaining teams that are on the back half of the Western Conference play-in standings. So the task looks much easier for them than it does for the Lakers. So it won't be easy. The Lakers have a very daunting task ahead of them. Not to mention, as you talked about, later when they go on the road to pretty much close out the season, they have not one, but two back-to-backs. Sure, a couple cupcakes are mixed in there, but they are on a back-to-back. And you know how the Lakers are back-to-back. So it's not going to be easy, my friend, all the way through until the end of the season.
Yeah, the 2 days off in those six games is the problem. And they're everywhere. They're everywhere. They're flying all over the place. The deepest of the East, up, down, sideways, left. It's going to be a brutal road trip after a long season here already. They come out of there 500, especially if they have a 7-3 home record here in this 10 game span, then at home, and then you can sit back and go, okay, 10 games out of 16, I'll take it. 10 and 6 in those 16 games. Take what you can get.
So funny because I'm laughing, Joe, because Frank, you could tell that their fan base, especially, you know, when you watch We Talk Mavs, it's almost like you're looking in a mirror, Joe, at how how much they dislike the job that Jason Kidd has done as compared to what we're doing the same thing here with Darvin Ham. But Frank says the Mavs schedule also should be easy, like the Golden State Warriors, but Kidd is sabotaging the season for them. They're right now only one game back in the loss column, same amount of wins as the Los Angeles Lakers. Provided the Lakers beat those teams that they need to beat, you never know.
So Frank, let me ask you this question. Does Jason Kidd not call a timeout when he sees that the team that he's playing against is starting to extend a lead and trying to put it away? Does Jason Kidd do that? See? Okay.
That's number one.
No. Does Jason Kidd put in another player for whatever purpose and see that he's not doing what he was in there to do, and you keep away a player that's got a skill set that you need at that moment? Does Jason Kidd do that?
Find out. Suns had a 42-point run on the Mavs.
I'm going to take a guess and say no.
Yeah.
Oh, so he said yes. So explain to me when he does that, Frank. When does he leave a player out that would benefit him more towards the end of the games in a close game? When does he do that? Because I haven't seen it. Maybe it's because I haven't seen a lot of Dallas Maverick games. I haven't seen him do that. It's bad. It's bad over here. I think Ham is much worse than Jason Kidd. I think Ham is much worse than Jason Kidd. I think Darvin Ham might be the worst coach in the league. And I say that not because he's the Lakers coach. It's you have two perennial all-star great players right now. And for them to struggle with certain fundamentals and certain schemes is unacceptable in my book. You have three other players in the starting lineup that are really, really good players. Yet you struggle to manage that three-fourths of the year. And these guys have been playing healthy. We said at the beginning of the year, If AD doesn't have a major injury, if LeBron doesn't have a major injury, we know he was going to take games off. That was fine. But we said if those guys are healthy, this team is going to win a lot of games. And on top of that, we said if D'Lo's making his shots, if Austin's doing his thing, and if Rui, you know, improves or stays to how well he was playing like he did in the playoffs, this team's not going to lose. Guess what? They've lost too much with those guys.
Well, I also think as well, if I may, my apologies, but if I may, Joe, and I think Frank is touching on it because he has a reliance on THJ, Tim Hardaway Jr., and Maxi Kleber, who these were cornerstones of their run to the Western Conference Finals. So, Frank, do you think it's that comfort and familiarity that he has with those two and how far that they took him before is the reason why that he's continuously relying on them instead of players that you want to see play like Derek Lively Jr. a little bit more, Daniel Gafford. Let's throw in Dante Exum. Let's throw in there Derek Jones Jr. So, yes, he's saying yes. So, again, Joe, I think it's all based – a lot of it is based off that familiarity he has from that Western Conference. Like we see the familiarity that he had for so much of the season because – he knew Torian Prince from when they were, you know, on the same team together in Atlanta.
First of all, you can't rely on Derek Lively. He's a rookie. PJ Washington, Gafford, you know, these guys are, they were moved during the deadline for a reason because they weren't doing what they probably were supposed to do with the current teams. And then they were then discarded to Dallas. Dallas, in a lot of ways, is a mirror of the Lakers. They have two stars on their team, and then they have about two or three guys that are very talented, but that's about it. They are very similar in that. But I'm gonna believe you, Frank, because you're watching the games. I'm not denying that Jason Kidd is not a problem. But, and of course, Exum is not that good. He only had one good game. That was with the freaking Lakers when they played him in Dallas. It's irrelevant whether – it's irrelevant at this point. It's irrelevant. There's a problem. There's a problem with recognizing the tone, and there's a problem recognizing the momentum of the game.
He's actually shooting, just to let you know, Exum, 47% from three on the season to 56% overall. It's like night and day. When he went overseas to what if he found something in his game, Joe, because he's not playing anywhere near at the, you know, just like average or below average level like he did before. He's playing substantially better, Joe.
Good for him. Stats. Good for him. I remember he was supposed to be the next Kobe.
Yeah, I know. Now he's still not the next Kobe, but he is shooting way more efficiently. But I can see that Frank says if he's not getting in the game as much and relying on players like THJ, who is the embodiment of streaky, that I can see as being very frustrating. But again, I think it's all, for these coaches, it's like comfort food. I think familiarity or names. Torian Prince is a veteran name that's been around the league for close to 10 years. So I think that's why he gets always a pass and gets always a look from Spencer Dinwiddie. Same thing. Been in the league a ton of years. So he gets always the first look over anybody that you might want to think might do a better job that gets in there.
I've never gotten on Darvin Ham for the Torian Prince thing, really, unless he's...
Well, our entire crowd has.
Right. Unless Torian Prince is given the green light to shoot like he's a one option. That's the part that I don't understand, because you have to play Torian Prince. You don't have any depth on this team. JHS can't play. Maxwell Lewis can't play. Castleton can't play. 70% of the time, Max Christie can't play. You have to play Torian Prince because you can't play your starting five 48 minutes a game. So putting him in there, I don't know why I keep hearing this. Well, why'd you put him in there? Well, you have to. It's what the team is constructed to do. My only issue with it is, why is he dribbling in traffic with 18 seconds left on the clock on back-to-back-to-back plays or taking ill-advised shots. That's my question there. And that explains the issues with the coaching. Why are these things happening? Why are certain players throwing the ball across the court and when they don't have to? These things a coach needs to go, what the hell are you doing? Stop making that pass. You had no angle on it. Why are you driving to the hoop with two guys in front of you? You're not Kobe Bryant. You're not Dwayne Wade, where you can weave in and out and get to the basket. There's spots. It's not just one thing. Oh, don't play this guy. He sucks. No, that's not very realistic. He has to play because he needs to spell players. But why is he doing this is the question. Why? That should be your concern. Because it's not very realistic getting angry at him for playing players that have to play. You're just basically punching yourself in the face at that point, and it doesn't make any sense.
We're signaling the ref for a quick timeout, but we'll be back with more of the Lakers Fast Break Podcast. Hey, Lakers fans. Looking for the best place to go for up-to-date news, information, original videos, articles, podcasts, opinion pieces, and discussions about the Los Angeles Lakers? Well, look no further than LakerHolics.com. With a legion of followers always there talking about everything Lakers and the NBA, there's no better place to go to share your fandom as the team heads toward another championship run. So stop by and be part of the conversation today at LakerHolics.com. Once again, it is the Lakers Fast Break. It is Joe Sora along with me, Gerald Glassford. Thanks again for watching and listening. Truly appreciate it. Don't forget, we've got a full day tomorrow coming up on Lakers game day. Pre-game, during the game, also as well, post-game, and then, of course, Lakers Nightcap with Joe Sora. I know there was a commenter, I think it was out on Facebook. I've been trying to find it, and I can't find the individual to do it, so I apologize. But if you mentioned on Facebook that you think that Dwight Howard should be returning to the Lakers, I know that's been mentioned every now and then. I do want to get you updated on Dwight, his career probably post-NBA, because you got to remember in the summer, he was given a look by the Golden State Warriors and they decided not to go ahead and give him a contract. He did have that lawsuit and legal issue between him and a former male lover on a sexual assault issue. That one just got dropped. That lawsuit just got dropped. I guess he's appearing in cooking videos. And then 2 days ago, he signed with Puerto Rico's Guaynabo Mets. So that's where we stand with Dwight Howard's career at this point in time. It's almost sad, Joe, because a guy, he doesn't know when it's over. He's trying to hang on to every single thread. Although, you know what? It worked for Starberry, my friend. He became a legend in China. So maybe he's trying to find himself the same route, Joe.
Is he going to eat Vaseline on camera? Like Starberry?
Well, I don't know. Cry? Well, he's making cooking videos.
Probably shouldn't have used Vaseline in the subject with Dwight Howard.
Yeah, probably not. That was... Yeah, okay. But
follow, you ever seen a ship sail, Gerald?
Yes, I've seen it. Yes.
You see where I'm getting at now?
Yes, I see where you're getting at. I saw where you were getting at the whole time. Alfonso, was that you that asked that question? Yeah, it's over for Dwight Howard as far as the NBA is concerned. But is JaVale still on the Kings? I'm going to take a look, see what his stats are, where he's at right now.
Are we going back in time, folks?
Yeah.
We're still talking about JaVale McGee.
That's where I'm. Well, he's asking. Alfonso has been watching us loyally these past few days. So far, he is on the Kings still. Played 39 games, averaging 4 points, just to let you know. I think Alfonso just remembers the success, as many people do. They often reach back to the 2020 series and what worked and think, hey, it's only 4 years later. You know, But the thing is, in 4 years, Joe, the league can dramatically change for some players. It can really pass people by.
It was already passing Dwight Howard by because bigs these days need to be more versatile, whereas Dwight Howard was more old school center, get the ball deep into the paint, pardon the pun, and get the ball in the hoop, pardon the pun. And yeah, it's those days are not, I'd say.
And Derek is actually on Facebook as well, adding in there that he could help. But Dwight is just not, it's over. He's what, 40 years old now, I think?
Lakers.
Is he younger than LeBron?
Lakers need a Zubac type center with AD. They need.
He's 38. 38.
Yeah, he's done his time. Let's just put it that way.
Now you're right. They do need a big body to guard against Jokic. Both you guys, I can see that. But Dwight Howard is no longer that guy.
It would have been much easier for AD to guard Jokic one-on-one if he had perimeter defenders that he didn't have to kind of spell or shadow with. That's a good one, Roy.
Not going to comment on it, but Roy,
the puns can, yeah, the puns can be relentless here if we really, really
yes,
try.
Yeah, exactly.
I've been holding back, honestly.
Yeah, I know you are. I know you are. As soon as I knew I had to read off exactly, yeah, I knew exactly where you were going to go with it. That's
yeah, it's very, very difficult.
I can tell.
I'm going to have to tell you to remove some of these videos.
No, we're being very vague in our descriptions, and that's all I'll say. And yes, so that's very vague.
Going back to basketball, Dwight Howard did his time. It's over. JaVale McGee is probably, I'm going to take a while.
He's not far behind.
This is probably his last season, if not maybe next year. The Lakers are going to ride with what they've brought here the rest of the year. We should stay focused on that because that's all they can do. There is no trade that can change anything anymore that can be allowed. It's if there's anything that they can pray and wish for is that Vanderbilt comes back in time to get into basketball shape and in time for the playoffs. And if some miracle Gabe Vincent's leg isn't Swiss cheese, that's all they have left in that.
I was just noting that to both Darren and Alfonso, if Golden State, which needed a big guy, and they do need a big guy even more than us, they passed up on him in the summer and did not call him back despite his legal troubles and all that. Yeah, it just tells you that I think it's time.
Who is this?
Golden State. Golden State gave him a tryout. Golden State gave him a real hard look.
Dwight?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. During the summer. And they passed on him.
Well, I don't think it had anything to do with his. I'm gonna be naive here, maybe.
No, it was the size. It's just saying he was
that whole court thing was, and you can see that it got dropped. That was an extortion thing. It just so happened to be.
No, but what I'm saying is they looked at him as far as filling a spot on the roster, and they passed on by because
he's just not good enough.
Yeah, he's just not anymore. That's all. I mean, at this point, we do need someone that can obviously match up size-wise with Jokic because that's still an issue. But right now, we should be focusing. Denver is down the road. If we get to face Denver in a series, we'll go ahead and tackle that when we get there, Joe. But it's those teams right above us in the standings that we should be focusing on the most.
Speaking of Kobe dunking on Dwight, that was the first time Dwight said that he'd been dunked on in his life. And it was a bad one.
Yes.
And it was of the teabag version.
But
real close.
Yes. Alfonso says, did they have Drummond before, but they let him go? Yes. That's why I was not exactly thrilled when I heard the rumors of bringing back Andre Drummond, Alfonso, because they didn't find a good way to work together or gel together. Credit to Andre Drummond that he's been able to find a place in the league as a backup center. Actually, right now, Joe, if you want to look at it, he's probably the best backup center in the NBA right now, the way he's been playing this season for Chicago. But remember, he was the starting center alongside AD, and they just didn't seem to mesh well together when it worked out last time.
We never got a chance to really see it because AD got hurt.
They did play a few games.
He wasn't playing well. He wasn't this acquisition that changed things. No, but they were the Lakers never really got a chance to see that front line deep into the playoffs. I don't really know, honestly, if it would have mattered anyways. I don't know. Him being on this team, it's better than nothing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if he would be an upgrade. Been
better than nothing. They have nothing right now. Jackson Hayes, I want to say this.
But the fact he's still on Chicago and Caruso's on Chicago tells me that they were asking for way too much for their services.
More than likely, because Chicago did not have to do that. And you have to understand that Chicago is owned by Jerry Reinsdorf, and Jerry Reinsdorf loves money. So now he's thinking to himself, why am I going to trade these guys when I can? First of all, Caruso's got a contract beyond this year. He doesn't really need to get anything. DeRozan's on an expiring contract. Didn't really need to trade him. Drummond is not that expensive. Might as well keep him. Keep these guys there. Let them win. Maybe you might. Right now, they're a ninth seed. They're probably going to stay there the rest of the way.
Yeah, they're not good at all.
If they win a couple of games, especially if Philadelphia doesn't get Embiid back, or at least get him healthy, and then you have Indiana, which, you know, I don't know. I guess you could argue that maybe they're probably going to get through. They've got a good enough team. But let's just say Chicago wins a couple games and go into the playoffs. Now Reinsdorf's going to have a chance to at least earn a couple of games of playoff money in that run, versus if he had dropped everybody, he wouldn't have had any playoff money or playoff aspirations.
And that's what you're talking about, anywhere from $2.5 to $5 million for those couple games. Probably, right? In the neighborhood?
Sure. Yeah. Those of you who think that guys that are worth a half a bill or a bill, you think they don't care about a couple million, you're not paying attention. They care about everything. That's why they became rich, is because they want every dime.
Okay. I'm just saying, because Andre Drummond, we'll see. I mean, he'll be a free agent, so if the Lakers are interested, they can go ahead and.
I don't know. I don't. That's another one where the.
On a minimum?
Minimum, yeah.
I think he's played better than that.
I don't think he's played for the minimum.
He's played better than that this time around.
Yeah, he's not playing for the minimum.
He's still 31 or 32, so yeah.
He's gonna play. He's gonna command at least.
Oh, he's actually exercised. Yeah, he'll be a free agent. Yeah, he'll be a free agent. So, and he's played well. He's 30 years old. So,
I mean, he could play. I mean, he's making $3.5 million right now, almost $3.5 million.
Yeah, so he'll probably get the mid levels. What he'll but be looking for?
I don't think. Yeah, I don't. I just don't. I don't know. I'm not really.
Or the mini mid level.
Yeah, I don't know who the Lakers could get in the offseason that would make a difference. No idea.
But that's something they should target as far as in the offseason. That's something I think we'll go over when our season ends, is what they actually need to go ahead and improve the roster.
Can the Lakers improve? Can D'Angelo Russell continue to play the way he's playing for the next 2-3 years? Can Austin get a little bit better on defense? And then AD's there, LeBron's there. Are you going to be able to get maybe a couple of players this summer that can really, really, really be consistent prime role players? Or are you going to gut the team and go get a third star again? There's a lot of questions there that we're going to be talking about during the offseason.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's going to provide for a lot of good episodes. And I want to make sure we hear your opinion. You can always go ahead and let us know, LakersFastBreak@yahoo.com. Please follow us on social media. Make sure you go ahead and get the latest news and info on what's going on with the Lakers and the NBA by following us at Lakers Fast Break, or just go ahead and be in the chat or leave comments on YouTube, Facebook. We get them. We get them. We follow them. We try to respond to them. We make sure we go ahead and provide you the best we can right here at the Lakers Fast Break. Alfonso on Facebook says, role players and new head coach for the next season. Yeah, we'll be doing a lot of that, Alfonso, as soon as the season's over, as far as projecting what the Lakers need, because there are quite a few things that the Lakers need to go ahead and improve upon. Also, figuring out what's going to go on with the LeBron extension, or LeBron picking up his final year, or is he getting a 3-year as heavily rumored? So we'll see what happens there. But it is the Lakers for now, mired in the Western Conference mix as far as for a play-in right now. They are 34-29, Joe, heading into tomorrow's game. Again, the first of two very important games. You said 2 of 2, Joe, against the Kings. They go 2-2 against them. That's two games there you can make up in the loss column.
If they're focused on a particular seed, they have to get to the 7 to guarantee themselves a playoff. Mm-hmm. If they really go on a run, they could sneak into the 6 spot, but the schedule is very, very difficult. I'd have to see
that. New Orleans and Phoenix also would have to slide as well, and I'm not sure you're going to get all those 5 teams
It's a stacked conference. I was looking at this, the differences between this play-in versus the East play-in. So right now, I guess you can't really count the Sixers because the Embiid got hurt, but you have Indiana, you have the Bulls in Atlanta with the Sixers in that play-in bracket. Below Atlanta, you have still close in terms of possibly making a run if they could with Brooklyn. Brooklyn is 2.5 games behind Atlanta for the 10th spot. Looking at that bottom team, I'm just like, eh. Then you look at Dallas, Lakers, Golden State, Kings. Just a huge difference. And then above them, you have Phoenix, the Pelicans. I mean, it's so stacked. These teams are so freaking good. It's so hard. It is so hard to be good in the West. It really is. And whoever comes out of this, just make sure you're good enough to beat the Celtics in case they make a run over there. Because right now,
they did lose tonight.
Yeah, but they're not going to win every game. It's going to be very difficult unless Milwaukee cleans up their act. I think if Milwaukee can clean up their act, I think there's a chance that they could meet them in the Eastern Conference Finals and beat them. But there's so many scenarios here that we have to pay attention to. It's not just the Lakers, because this season would get much worse if the Celtics ended up taking it.
Final question I have for you, my friend, for this evening is for tomorrow night's game against Sacramento. We know Sabonis versus AD is a key matchup, but it's being mentioned in the chat. Who do you have guarding De'Aaron Fox tomorrow? I know normally I would say Jared Vanderbilt, but a healthy Jared Vanderbilt, the one we got Austin just before the injury, not the one we had for the first 2 weeks, the one we had for the last 2 weeks.
I think you'll see probably Austin or D'Lo. More than likely D'Lo.
See some Reddish on him too?
I wouldn't put Reddish on him. He'll destroy Reddish, just like Jamal Murray did.
Then Reddish, I mean, really, would you waste Reddish on Herter? Because Herter, I mean, just...
If you can stay in front of him, don't let him have open shots. Drop coverage crap can't happen.
Just got to make sure you stay up on Herter.
Can't have it with anybody.
We give up too many threes.
Too many, and he'll make them. And then you got to worry about them when they're in Sacramento even more. So if you beat them tomorrow night, they're going to want blood when you get back to Sacramento. So you better game plan for 2 games very well against that team. They're going to want to kill you.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see.
I'm not going to fault Darvin Ham on that. He can't control whether these guys can play defense. But at the same time, he can decide on how to funnel certain players. That's a skill that a coach needs to have. If you're perimeter players are going to suffer due to certain stars. And this even includes the ones that can play well. You have to be able to have a second and third option, and that you can funnel those players at least to an area where they're going to be uncomfortable, whether if they're always going to the right and when they're on their dominant right, let's say if they're right-handed, they're going right, make them go left. If they're going to go baseline, make sure AD is not on the weak side and is on the, you know, on the strong side. There's a lot of that stuff that needs to happen during a basketball game, and it needs to be quick and easy for everyone to just naturally know what they need to do.
So there you have it. It is the Los Angeles Lakers tomorrow against the Sacramento Kings. Again, we'll be providing you coverage as we normally do for as far as the pregame. During the game, I'm keeping my fingers crossed I can get the simulcast going. If not, join us, playback.tv/LakersFastBreak. Also as well, of course, the postgame, best postgame that's out there is the Lakers Fast Break. And of course, topping your night off with a nightcap with Joe Soro, Lakers nightcap indeed. But for Joe Soro, it's Gerald Glassford. Thanks so much for watching and listening. Truly appreciate it. Joe, again, we're still in the middle of that very tough schedule for the Lakers, but can't really do much else. They got to go ahead and win these games, Joe. So for Joe Soro, it's Gerald Glassford. Thanks so much again for watching and listening. Truly appreciate it. Join us tomorrow for all the fun as the Lakers play against the Sacramento
Kings. Who I think it is that Anthony? I'm sorry, Anthony Hardaway.
Tim Hardaway.
I mean,
THJ. Yes, that is THJ. Yes. How did I know?
What choice? What other choice would you have?
He would say Jaden Hardy, because Jaden Hardy started off the season rough, but as Frank can attest, since the turn of the calendar, when he's been able to play, Hardy has statistically played better. I told you about Dante Exum. Derek Jones Jr., he is also cited as someone, I guess, has played well. He said that's been a good pickup, and it has been from what I've seen.
I'm going to catch some Dallas games here, Frankie, and I'll let you know. Yeah. I'll let you know.
But again, I think it's just it comes down to a coach just familiarizing himself with guys like Kleber and THJ, and we've seen it with Darvin Ham. We've seen it with, remember that, we had coaches fall in love with certain players that we didn't want. Avery Bradley. Remember when Vogel was in love with Avery Bradley and continuously started him and played him, and it was just excruciating for us as well. There's always those players that have like tenure in the league, Joe, that coaches love, that everybody else sees that they should just not play or not play as much.
Stubbornness.
All these coaches do it. They all do it.
NBA coaches are worse with their stubbornness, even more than any other coach in any other league.
Frank says, I'll be mad if kid suddenly coaches good when Joe watches. That's funny. I mean, don't we say the same thing, Kurt, about Avery Bradley that we do Torian Prince? There you go. Yeah, all these coaches, they always have that one or two players that just, they keep on playing, and you just got to ask yourself why. So, yeah. I think Alan, what he says, that's on the season, but he has struggled as of late, Alan, I think in recent games, which is, he's a streaky shooter. THJ can go on those streaks, those massive streaks that can just kill the other team, but can also kill you at the same time when he gets cold. So Frank is saying that post All-Star THJ is trash. If you just go to We Talk Mavs, everyone, they do a great job there. Check out their chat board. They'll tell you the skinny on the Mavs. They'll tell you straight up exactly all the info that you need to know on that, because THJ has been a very much a source of consternation from them over the years that he's been there. Dwight Powell, THJ, and Maxi Kleber. Those are three sore spots to Mavs fans. So I'll leave it at that. But once again, it is the Lakers Fast Break. It is Joe Soro along with me, Gerald Glassford. Thanks again for watching and listening. It is truly appreciated. If you've not yet liked and subscribed, I know I say it all the time. I know I've had it down there for over an hour. please go ahead and do so. It really helps us out. We really want to get a larger subscriber base. It gets us noticed. It gets us out there. It gets us out to more eyes and more people. It gets us a lot more attention. It gets us a lot more looks from advertisers, from people want to promote, people wanting to promote their product, from people wanting to go ahead and promote us to a larger audience base. It really helps us out if you like and subscribe to everything that we do. Comment, leave some comments or whatever you can to go ahead and support us here. The Lakers Fast Break, it is truly appreciated. So for Joe Sorrell, it's me, Gerald Glassford. Thanks again for watching and listening. Truly appreciate it. We'll be back tomorrow for more great stuff with the Sacramento Kings and Los Angeles Lakers play tomorrow on the Lakers Fast Break Podcast.